And now it's time for Highlights from Christian History with Michael Goins. It has been said that a people that forgets its history loses its identity. And without a doubt, contemporary confusion about what it means to be a Christian, and even a Baptist, may be directly traced to the idea that the past is irrelevant to the modern world. In such a climate, intent on deconstructing history, we are more convinced than ever that an understanding of our rich history is of paramount importance. So we're glad that you've joined us for this edition of Highlights from Christian History. Here's Brother Goins with today's segment.
We are looking now at the period AD 600 to 1500. Now, this era is called the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages, or again, the Medieval period, and it covers a period of approximately 900 years between AD 600 and 1500. It has both a secular and a religious dimension to it. In secular terms, it refers to the post-Roman Empire period between the ending of ancient Rome and the Renaissance, and it describes that cultural and economic decline that occurred in Western Europe during that period. And religiously speaking, the Dark Ages were a time of significant superstition. Very little historical information is available from this era beyond what is available through Roman Catholicism. This was the age of the Crusades, superstition and general ignorance. European legends such as Robin Hood and King Arthur originated during the feudal system of government that was practiced during this era. Few people could read, and Catholic priests turned to images, architecture, stories, statues, and rituals to teach the common people about God. The birth of Islam and its relation to Christianity. While superstition was taking root in the West, Islam, a new and rival world religion, was growing in the East. Never has Christianity had a greater foe than the religion of Islam. The Muslim religion originated with Muhammad in approximately 600 AD. Muhammad was born in Mecca of Arabia in 570 AD. Orphaned as a little child, he was raised by his uncle Abu Talib, who exposed him to various Jewish and Christian settlements as he traveled with him on business. He was troubled, however, by the proliferation of images and icons associated with these religions, adjudging them to be forms of idolatry. At the age of 25, Muhammad entered the service of a wealthy widow to carry on her husband's trade. He married the widow, who was 14 years his senior, and prospered in her late husband's business. Over the next decade or so, he grew more serious about religion, until at the age of 40, Muhammad spent an entire month in solitude in a mountain cave near Mecca. He claimed that he received the following vision from the angel Gabriel. O Muhammad, of a truth thou art the prophet of God, fear not, I am his angel Gabriel. Muhammad called his new religion Islam, meaning submission. He recognized that Moses and Jesus were prophets, but claimed that he was the greatest prophet of all. Muhammad emerged from solitude and began to challenge the idolatry around him. But Muhammad was not initially received with enthusiasm. In 622, he and his followers were forced to flee to Medina for their safety. 8 years later, he returned to Mecca in triumph and destroyed over 300 idols in the city. Overwhelmed by this dramatic turn of events, the city's inhabitants shouted, "There is but one God, Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet." Muhammad's new religion had great appeal to his fellow Arabians. Over a 23-year period, Muhammad collected the, quote, divine secrets that had been allegedly revealed to him in a book called the Quran, the greatest masterpiece in Arabic literature. The Quran furnishes Muslims with most of their prayers and permits the followers of Islam to have as many as 4 wives each. Muhammad taught that God has sent different prophets to reveal his various attributes: Moses, his providence and mercy; Solomon, his wisdom, majesty, and glory; Jesus, his righteousness, omniscience, and power. "But I, the last of the prophets," said Muhammad, "am sent with the sword." He taught, "Let those who promulgate my faith enter into no argument or discussion, but slay all who refuse obedience to the law. Whoever fights for the true faith, whether he fall or conquer, will assuredly receive a glorious reward and be certain of entrance into paradise. Prayer leads halfway to God, fasting leads to the gateway to heaven, alms opens the door, but waging the holy war gives actual entrance in heaven." Islam teaches that everything that happens has been foreordained by an absolute fate, and that after death, the evil will be punished and the good rewarded. The 5 pillars of Islam are: 1, the confession of no other God but Allah; 2, the offering up of prayers 5 times each day; 3, the giving of alms; 4, fasting during daylight hours throughout the entire month of Ramadan; 5, pilgrimage to Mecca at least once in a person's lifetime. After his conquest of Mecca, Muhammad demanded recognition as the messenger of God from emperors and kings. After his death in 632, his followers, known as the Caliphs, founded the Muhammadan or Muslim Empire, which stretched from India to the Atlantic Ocean. In 637, Caliph Omar seized control of Jerusalem and built a mosque on the site of the old Jewish temple. Later, he burned the world's most famous library, located in Alexandria, Egypt. He justified the unconscionable act, saying that the Quran was the only book necessary. By 662 AD, Islam had established a dominant presence in Syria, Egypt, Mesopotamia, Persia, and North Africa. Thousands of Christian churches were destroyed or converted into mosques. In the 700s, Muslims infiltrated Europe via Spain and France, sustaining a strong presence in the former for over 700 years. Islam is the only world religion to be established since the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. Like Christianity, it is a monotheistic religion, and like the Christian faith again, it is an exclusive faith. Today, exclusivity is taboo. Any religion that claims to be absolutely true is viewed by the secular culture as intolerant. Hence, neither Christianity nor Islam is popularly accepted by the world. Moreover, mutually exclusive religions such as Christianity and Islam cannot tolerate each other. If the intolerance were strictly academic, however, the 2 major world religions could peacefully coexist. When one or the other party addresses the dilemma militantly, however, as Catholicism regrettably did in the Crusades and Islam is doing today, the prospect for the future looks very tenuous and bleak. The Crusades. The rapid growth of Islam, or Muhammadism, was causing great concern in Papal Rome. The Muslims had controlled Jerusalem since AD 638. Pilgrims to Jerusalem were allowed to visit, but not permitted to publicly demonstrate in favor of Christianity or to build any churches. In the 11th century, however, Christian pilgrims to Jerusalem were subjected to high tariffs, harsh treatment, and severe oppression. In 1095, Pope Urban II delivered a homily against the Turks and Arabs, urging Catholics to, quote, destroy that vile race from their lands. He probably did not anticipate the effect his sermon would have on his people. A cry went up that the Turks should be dislodged by force. "It is the will of God, it is the will of God," exclaimed the people. Peter the Hermit rode his donkey from city to city throughout Italy and France, preaching against the oppressors of the pilgrims. He gathered an army of 20,000 European peasants, who affixed a red cross to their right shoulder as a badge of honor. These uncouth peasants were long on enthusiasm and short on training for warfare. the Turks met them at Nicaea, or Constantinople, and killed most of them. 4 years later, another group of Christian crusaders, now trained in warfare, recaptured Nicaea, captured Antioch of Syria, and proceeded to take Jerusalem in a gruesome massacre of nearly all the Turks in the city. For nearly 50 years, Jerusalem remained under Catholic control, but it was under constant threat by the Mohammedans. This was the First Crusade. In 1147, Bernard of Clairvaux, a pious monk and writer of Christian hymns, preached about the need of a second crusade to support the kingdom of Jerusalem. Two substantial armies were gathered, one led by the King of France and the other by the Emperor of Germany. As the armies marched for Jerusalem, however, they suffered severe casualties at the hands of the Turks, again in Nicaea. The armies retreated homeward, and the Muslims, now encouraged by their success, laid siege to Jerusalem and recaptured it in 1187. The Europeans were indignant. This time Richard the Lionheart, King of England, joined Barbarossa of Germany and Philip Augustus, King of France, on the Third Crusade. Only Richard, however, would reach Jerusalem. The Robin Hood legends, by the way, supposedly took place while Richard was gone on this Third Crusade. The German emperor was drowned while attempting to cross a river in Asia Minor. The King of France returned home after illness weakened his ranks. Knowing that he could not take Jerusalem alone, Richard negotiated the terms of a truce with the Muslim leader Saladin. Saladin agreed that Christian pilgrims to the city would no longer be molested or taxed. Richard boarded a ship and headed home for England. At least four other crusades were attempted, none of which were successful in conquering the Muslims. The Fourth Crusade saw European Catholics distracted into fighting their Eastern brothers in Constantinople. For 3 days, the crusaders sacked Constantinople. One Eastern writer lamented, "Muslims are merciful compared with these men who bear Christ's cross on their shoulders." It was this crusade that forever divided Catholicism into two groups, Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox. Not everything associated with the 200 years of crusades was a violation of Christian principles. Even some secular critics of Christianity recognized that the crusaders constructed hospitals in Palestine and other parts of the Middle East during this sad period. These nobler acts notwithstanding, the Crusades formed a blemish on the reputation of Christianity in the world that has diminished very little over time. Jesus taught that because his kingdom was not of this world, it would not be promoted by the use of the sword. John 18:36, Matthew 26:52. Paul reminded the Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The cause of Christ would have been much better served had his professed followers always remembered that fact.
Thank you for joining us today for this brief snapshot from the past. Please join us again soon for another episode of Highlights from Christian History.